Welcome to Narratives. In this instalment, Jackie Newling reads from her book, Eat Your History, in which she recreates an early colonial recipe, boiled calf's head. Vegetarians, block your ears.
A calf's head was one of many main course dishes on a Victorian table, served whole or halved, boiled, or sometimes coated in seasoned crumbs and baked. The crumbed version certainly masks a lot of the unattractive aspects of the boiled head. Cookbooks often featured images showing how to adorn them for the table, with explicit instructions on how to carve them and get at the best bits, cheeks, jowls and palates. The eyes were, for some, a delicacy. Being more delicate, the brains were cooked separately and served in a melted butter sauce. To my children's horror, calf's head was another dish I experimented with in my own kitchen for a colonial gastronomy program at Vaucluse House. Fortunately, my butcher saved me a trip to a meatworks, but even being presented with the head was confronting. Apart from overcoming any squeamishness, the hardest part was acquiring the head and then a pot large enough to cook it in. I lacked the requisite oval cauldron, so a caterer friend provided me with a 30-litre pot. The pot was so big and deep I had to cook on the barbecue, standing on a chair when I needed to look inside it. The outdoor barbecue turned out to be a good idea, keeping the house from smelling of boiled meat. As I was unable to buy a head with its skin still on, I wrapped the head in muslin to stop bits floating off as it boiled, and so that I could retrieve it from the pot without damaging it once it was cooked. Despite this, the eyes became dislodged, and I had to fish them out and reinstate them in their sockets. Not my finest culinary moment. It's difficult for us to imagine that anyone would tolerate such a large and identifiable part of an animal on the table, but such was the acceptance of animal food in past times. It's only relatively recently that we have rejected whole cuts and increasingly bought cuts removed from the bone. We prefer to disassociate our food from its true origins and form, and rather than garnish, we disguise. Until World War II, tongue was regarded as a select, even prestigious dish. In the dozen or so formal or banquet menus from the 19th century, in the current collection on my desk, all but one features ox or beef tongue, or long in French. The exception has sweetbreads, or lamb's thymus instead. Drawings and colour plates in the more expensive cookery books often show a whole tongue displayed, dare I say, languishing on its own platter, surrounded by parsley or other green garnish and a paper collar or ruffle adorning its throat end, hiding the untidy roots. Tongue took pride of place alongside roast beef at the wedding celebration for Nina Rouse of Rouse Hill House and George Terry in April 1895. A description of the proceedings was published in the local newspaper. In the evening, fully a couple of hundred residents of the locality assembled at Mr. Whitling's store, where a substantial repast was laid, and this was partaken of heartily, the carvers at each table being kept busy. When the wreck of tongues, rounds of beef, etc. had been cleared away, dancing was commenced and indulged in till an early hour on Thursday morning. Generally, tongue is pickled or cured in much the same way as corned beef, giving it a similar but richer, earthier flavour. It is then poached very gently, boiling will render it tough, with herbs, aromatics, onion, celery and parsley stalks, for example, peppercorns, blades of mace and the like. Once cool enough to handle, I leave it in the poaching liquid for an hour or so, the tongue then needs to be peeled to remove its leathery outer skin. I have a friend whose family enjoys lamb's tongues and his children call them grandma's slippers, which, if ever you decide to cook a tongue yourself, you will discover is an apt description at this point in the preparation. Looking at it from the throat end as you peel away the skin, the tongue resembles an old-fashioned, slightly pointy-toed lady's shoe. These days, tongue is presented in slices, often in a charcuterie or cured meat selection, but at formal 19th century dinners, the tongue would be sliced at the table as part of the dining proceedings. At a dinner hosted by William Sharp Maclay at Elizabeth Bay House in 1859, beef tongue in the first course was served with sauce piquante, flavoured with pepper, cayenne or chilli, and vinegar. Leftover slices could be used as a breakfast or supper dish, hashed, that is, chopped finely, or potted with butter and spices.
You've been listening to Jackie Newling reading from her book, Eat Your History. You can hear Jackie read again at thenarrativeslibrary.com and hear an interview with Jackie at artscanvas.com/blog. Narratives is produced by Karina Wynne-Moylan, Bay FM 99.9 for the Community Broadcasting Network and is part of the Narratives Library project.